It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. We're in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through the 15th verse today. So open your Bibles, if you would, please, to that chapter and verse, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You could also visit us at our website. It is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so if you would like to contact us either way, it would be just fine. We'd love to hear from you. Genesis chapter 3, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me the tree. Let me read that again. The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank you for your precious word today. Help us as we look through your word to know your way and will for our lives. It's exciting, Father, to have your word before us. Now, please, we want your will and we want your way. And to learn the beginning, the creation, now we're looking at the fall of man, and it's not long we're going to look at your means of redemption. Please, Lord, that you don't let us miss one part of this. Man was born into sin. Adam and Eve were not. But from that time on, we were born into sin, and so we need a Savior. Every one of us need a Savior. We're going to find here shortly, Lord, that Adam and Eve, too, need a Savior. Father, guide and lead us now as we study your precious word. I thank you for it, and just show us your way and will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look to this word, we always have said we have pictures, and I want you to see these pictures. I don't want you to miss them. And when we were looking last time, why we have looked at one, and we'll look at another today. But the one we found was in the 21st through the 24th verse. And let me read that. This is in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now if we go into the Ephesians chapter 5, and this is kind of review from last time we were together. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll find in the verses 30 and 32, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This great mystery that it speaks of here. You know, the building of Adam's bride. And we have pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ through all God's Word. The purpose of God's Word is to tell us of the Lord Jesus. And when we learn of the Lord Jesus, to not only come to trust Him by faith, the cross of Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ died was where the door has been opened, the opportunity has come to us that we may trust in Him by faith and be saved. You know, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have done that, you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Here we find that the work in all of God's Word here is to show us about the Lord Jesus, again, that we may know Him and also live according to the way He wants us to live. Well, if you would take now the Lord Jesus and place Him where we have Adam, replace the Lord Jesus, Adam with the Lord Jesus, and then the bride with the church. And if you'll look very carefully, and again, we spent some time a couple of times ago on this, and I wanted you to see it and enjoy it. Adam's side was opened here in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Adam's side was opened, and then it was closed. The Lord God not only opened his side, took the rib out, and then he closed his side. Then the beginning of the building of the woman. If you'll notice in verse 22, this is 2:22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And so you see then, after the opening and the closing. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon Him, His side being opened, and it was opened when, remember, the soldiers come by and found Him to be dead already, and they put a spear into His, a sword into His side, and water and blood came forth. And you know, as Adam here, as his side was opened, he is shedding blood for his own blood, for his bride. And so Adam was opened and closed. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he died there, was buried, and rose again for his bride. Adam here was not only put to sleep, Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. The Lord Jesus Christ faced death upon the cross of Calvary that we can live. He shed his blood. His side was opened for you and for me. He shed his blood. He died. And then he rose again. Upon doing that, completing the work at Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the beginning of the church, the building of his bride. And we have this now in verse 22, and the Lord God, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. That's the first half of verse 22 of Genesis 2:22. And so he built the woman. And then at the close of that, at the end of verse 22, we find that he brought her unto the man. Now we're going unto Adam. And so we're going to find the same thing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. His side was opened. He bled. He died. He was put in the grave, and he rose again, that we may have not only victory over sin, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So not only do we have the forgiveness of sin, but also we have life. Well, he did the same thing with Adam. He put him to a deep sleep. His side was pierced. He shed his own blood for his bride. Then he was brought back, closed up the flesh instead thereof, and Adam was literally brought back to life here, that he could then the building started of the bride. And as the bride was built, now we don't know how long that this took. The building of God's bride today of the church has been going on for 2,000 years. The period of time that this took, I'm sure, wasn't that kind of time period, but there was a time period involved here to have this beautiful picture. And so then, at that time, when the bride was finished, then the bride was brought over to Adam and given to him, presented. And it's the same thing. When the church is complete, whenever that takes place, it could be today, could be tomorrow, whenever the church is complete, then the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and he will get us, and we will be united with him, and we will be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, will be presented to God the Father. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. So you see the picture that we have there. This was review. Now, for the Lord Jesus Christ to leave heaven, to leave his Father's house, and to come into this filthy world that we might be saved, that's how much he loved us. What a beautiful picture we have. Even before man has fallen, we have a picture of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he is going to save us, and we have that in the creation of the woman as a picture of the creation of the church. Now, we read, this is the very thing that the Scripture is speaking of here, when we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, and it said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." That's what happens to us as the Lord Jesus Christ come down here, took on flesh, that we may be a part of him. He left home, he came down to save us. And a tremendous mystery that we have here, a wonderful mystery, a great mystery. And it's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for each and every person of this world. Now, are you going to be a member of this church? I'm not talking of Parkview Bible Church. I'm talking about the church, the universal church, the church that is going to be made up of many different folks, many different walks of life, of many different nationalities of people, whoever, it's a whosoever church, whosoever will come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a member of the church and begin this wonderful walk, because the Holy Spirit will come to live within you and you'll enjoy very much the walk and the opportunity that we have. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And it's the very same verses that we have here from verse 21 through verse 34, and verse 24, I'm sorry. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, it continues as we enjoy these verses of Scripture. And as we look now at what has taken place, we have that picture. Now we've got another picture, and I hope we have time today to get through the second picture. Then the next time we're together, we'll review it so that you can better understand it. Sometimes these things are kind of new to you, But this is the Word of God. It's a beautiful picture book of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't want you to miss any of that, and especially for you folks that have never studied the Old Testament, this is really going to be a blessing for you to see these pictures that we have. Genesis chapter 3, now verse 6, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Now, we've been through the serpent. We've been through the reason that I believe that the devil used the serpent. We've talked about the very reason why I believe that the devil used the serpent and attacked the woman and not the man. All those things we have discussed the last couple times we were together. So this time we're just going to look at the result of what's happened here. And she was deceived. The devil is a liar, and he used the serpent to carry out his lies, and he just started to change the truth just a little bit, and Eve kind of grabbed a hold of that lie, and he moved very quickly. And remember that she went from saying that you not only don't eat of the fruit, but you don't touch it. And I believe that was an open door for the devil, and that's the reason we need to be so careful that when we study the Word of God and when I preach and teach the Word of God, that it's taught clearly and carefully and correctly, because the only open door that devil needs is just to proclaim the Word. Just turn a couple words around. Just misuse it ever so slightly. Just take a little bit out because you don't like it. That's all that devil needs to move in. And then he begins to change the doctrine so quickly. So many churches today that years ago were good Bible preaching, soul winning churches, and today they don't know what to have a soul. They kind of believe, most of them today believe in kind of a universal salvation. In other words, if you attend church, if you took communion, if you took the instruction as a youth, all those things, if you're baptized, then you're it. That's it. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. No, you're not. You must come by faith. It's a personal relationship you need, and it's a decision that you need to make. It is a decision. Just like you decide in the morning that you're going to get up and go to work, you decide on a Sunday morning whether you're going to get up and go to church or not. There's a decision made. Well, you need to make that same level, that same decision to come to Jesus Christ. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you of your sin, show you of your sin, and teach you to for the way of salvation, teach you how to come to Jesus Christ, how to call upon Him. All those things come if you will just call upon Him today, look to Him today, and the way will be clear, the way will be bright, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you today, that you can begin this wonderful walk. Don't change the Word of God, because when you begin to change it, as so many churches have, they have taken on their own doctrine, their own beliefs. No one is ever saved anymore. They don't preach it, they don't teach it, and the lives, and they wonder why the church has no strength. It's a social club. That's all it is. It's a social activity, and that's all it amounts to. Now, I ask you that you get your heart right, get into the Word of God, and begin to learn verse by verse, word by word, the truth, the Word of God. Now, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, okay, the serpent used that, the devil used that, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, okay, so it tasted good, and we still, our appetites are the same, aren't they, for the food. The eyes, it looks good, you know, when you driving that old car, that old truck, live in that older home, you know, and you see this beautiful new home, or you see this beautiful new car, or this beautiful new truck, and all of a sudden you begin to wonder, you know, I think I can afford this. The old is fine. The old is working just great. Why do you need new? It's because your eyes. Because of your eyes. It's because of your appetite. Well, Eve, the woman, was deceived by the serpent, the serpent that was driven by Satan, and as this time come, and he just threw everything out, and she did eat, the scripture says. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. That was told us in the sixth verse. Also says right there in the sixth verse that she also gave it unto her husband Adam, and he did eat. Eve was deceived. The question comes, was Adam deceived? Was Adam blind to what he was doing? He did eat, the scripture tells us very clear in this sixth verse. When Eve fell, she just fell as an individual. Now you see, if Satan would have went after Adam, and Adam would have fallen, then Eve too would have fallen with him. But instead, the serpent, driven by Satan, chose to go after. Remember, the devil wants company here, and so he didn't waste any time to have 1,000 people on the earth, did he? He started right away. He started immediately with Eve, and I think that he knew the longer that Adam and Eve enjoyed this wonderful, perfect place, this perfect garden, fellowship with God, that the chances of him being able to trick one or the other, it was stronger if we do it now. And so I don't believe he tarried long. I think he started almost immediately after her. And I don't believe it was long that she did surrender, and she was tempted of the devil, and the devil won. And so when Eve fell, she just fell as an individual. She did not take Adam with her, as Adam would have taken Eve if it had been the other way around. Satan tempted Adam through his wife Eve. Again, as we look at the reason that the serpent, driven by Satan, went after Eve instead of Adam, is because Adam heard the words directly from God. God said, and Adam listened, and there was no question about what was to go on. The Lord God took man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." That's 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 2. So the word came directly to Adam. Now, Eve was told of this truth, one rule, it was told to Eve from Adam. And I believe that the devil knew that the words would ring in Adam's ear clearly, the truth, word by word. But if he was going to be able to fool someone, trick someone, let's go for the one that didn't hear the words directly from Adam. That would be Eve. And so he went after Eve. Eve did not receive the word firsthand. She received it from Adam. Remember something here too, as we look now, I want to break this up just a little bit, because I want you to see between Eve taking of the fruit and Adam taking of this forbidden fruit, the not to eat of it. It was the command of God. And Adam knew that if you ate of this fruit, you would die. Eve was deceived. She was looking for something greater. When you have a perfect place and a perfect husband, what more would you want? Well, God gave a choice, and we still have that choice today. I would ask you, why won't you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and be saved? What kind of a decision is that you would not want to make, that you would not want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet multitudes die in their sin and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, why would you ever make such a choice when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, shows you the wonderful life that you can have in the Lord Jesus, not only here, but eternally, and yet you refuse not to do it? There's a choice. Now, This is kind of the backwards choice, because you think, well, if I had everything, and if I had a perfect husband, as Eve did, what more would you want? Well, again, there's a choice. And the devil threw everything at her that he could throw, and that was he tempted her with the food, with the eyes, and make one wise. And it was just enough that she did not trust in God. She trusted in her own thoughts, in her own ways, and she chose to eat of this fruit. Now, before this took place, the love that Adam and Eve had not only for God, but also for each other, has never, ever been matched since. There has never been a man and a woman that has had and enjoyed the love that Adam and Eve enjoyed. You see, because it was a perfect love. This is before Eve ate of the fruit. This is before Adam took from Eve the fruit and ate it. This is before. Perfect, wonderful. Never has two loved each other as these two love each other. Satan hoped that this love, this great love that Adam had for Eve, would cause him to fall. He would follow Eve because of the love that he has for her. That was Satan's hope. Now, let's move to the middle of verse 6. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, let's stop right there. Now, we have Eve dead spiritually, a lost sinner. She's physically alive, but for the first time, she is beginning to die physically. Spiritually, she is dead, separated from God. To be totally separated from God, from one that had perfect fellowship with God, now is separated from God in one simple act. Now, today you can come by faith to Jesus Christ. One simple act. You can be saved. You can come and be redeemed. Well, Eve fell so quickly. She fell by one decision. You can stay spiritually dead by one decision, and that is to stay and not trust by faith in Jesus Christ. But as Eve fell with one decision, you can be redeemed by one decision, and that's coming by faith to Jesus Christ. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by His grace, His love, His redemptive power. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. Eve made a decision. She had a choice. She made a decision. She is spiritually dead. Adam is still spiritually alive. He's a perfect man. She's a lost sinner. She's spiritually dead. He's spiritually alive. He is physically. Physically, he is not changing. He is whole. He is not dying, deteriorating. He has no pain, no aches, no problem, nothing. But immediately upon this, not only did Eve spiritually die, but she began also to die physically. To die physically. Adam never questioned God's word. God's word says, "Thou shalt surely die." Adam knew that. Eve, for some reason, she didn't take in what that meant, to die, to be spiritually, to be separated from God. And that's what's happening here, beginning to be separated from God. Now, right now, we have Eve spiritually dead. She's a lost sinner. Physically, she is dying. We have Adam alive spiritually, a perfect man. And physically, he's perfect. Now, what's going to happen? I know in this one verse it says, "And she gave it to him, and he did eat." But there's something that's going to take place here before this act happens, that of Adam taking of the fruit. And so next time we come together, we're going to look very carefully at a decision that Adam had. Now, I'm going to ask you, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?